Friends, grace and peace to you. In the name of Jesus the Christ, amen. So my brother and my sister and I have two other siblings, and of which I am the youngest. But the three of us used to always argue over who was the favorite child in our family. Those of you who have siblings can probably relate. I think it's a common thing amongst siblings. And truth be told, maybe we still argue about that a little bit. But mostly it's in fun now. When we were younger, you know, if I were jealous that my brother got to do something that I didn't get to do, I might say, you know, you're just doing that because Dad always liked you better. You know, if my sister was upset that because I got something that she had always wanted, but she was going to have to wait until she was out on her own to be able to get that thing, she would say the same. You're the golden child. You can do no wrong in Mom's eyes. It's best to be the oldest because, you know, the oldest gets to experience things first while Mom and Dad are still fresh. No, it's best to be in the middle because all the blame gets pushed out on the edges. It's best to be the youngest. You get the advantage of learning from your older siblings all the mistakes of how not to get caught. So many years ago, but not so many that it was at the point where we were all adult children, my mom gave all three of us identical t-shirts that say, "Mom always loved me best." And I've tried year after year after year to prove my favored status by pulling that t-shirt out. Yeah, I still have it. It's pretty ragged and tattered. Not so pretty looking, but I'm going to hang it right here. You can't see the words, but I pull that out every year at Christmas, and my siblings just think that I'm sick to have kept this raggedy old thing all these years. I'm pretty sure that parents are supposed to love all their children the same, and in my experience, they do. And if parents are... If this is an expectation of parents, all the more, what about God? Isn't God to love all people all the same? I'm pretty sure that God does, but this text this morning kind of leads me to question all this, to wonder about how does God love all people the same? And we have a story like this morning where God chooses one man, Abram, among all other men and women in the world, to have this distinct, special relationship with God. It sounds exclusionary. Many someones have gotten left out, and someone, Abram, has gotten this favorite status. But listen to what God says to Abram. God says, "I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. In you, all people of the earth shall be blessed." See, God calls Abram for a very specific purpose. And that purpose is to be in relationship with God, but that purpose is also to bring blessing, bring that relationship to the whole world. So it turns out that this promise that God makes to Abram isn't exclusionary after all. It turns out that, in fact, none of God's promises are exclusionary. Even when we hear promises that sound that they are given specifically to one person or to one group of people, the intent is through that person or through those group of people to share that promise with others. Not to be exclusionary, not to leave people out, but to show that God's promise is always personal, but never private. See, God doesn't work in this way, though we hear that phrase and maybe even have used it, you know, just me and Jesus. God doesn't work in that way. God works in the way of being just you and God in a personal relationship. But through this promise, through this text, we hear that it is about this relationship then being as a sign to be shared with others. An example of the personal nature of God's promise of relationship that I always love to remember comes from one of the workbooks that we use for First Communion instruction for the grade school youth. On one of the very first pages, there's one of those fun picture activities for kids to circle everything that's wrong with the picture. It shows a dad sitting on the edge of the bed putting his child to sleep, and there's all kinds of things wrong with the picture. I don't remember all the details, but the potted plant maybe is upside down. The kid has a hockey skate one of his feet in bed. The door is upside down. There's all kinds of strange things about the picture, but the point of this is that what's wrong really with the picture is what the dad is saying. It has one of those little word clouds above the dad's head, and he's tucking his child into bed, and as he tucks his child into bed, he says, "Good night. I love kids." See, when we give a blessing or share a promise or make a statement about love for someone, we don't make vague statements. I don't say to my wife, "I love wives." That would be weird. That would be really weird. We make our statements personal. But while our personal promises and blessings and declarations of love might often be private, intended for one particular person, God's love starts with one particular person to then send the promise of God out to all of the world through that person. An ultimate example of this is how God worked through one particular man named Jesus, the incarnation of God on earth for the blessing of the whole world, through one for all. The promise to Abram is so amazing to these specific people, Abram and Sarai, mainly because though they are well beyond their childbearing years, they have been promised a son. Many sons and daughters, in fact, even down to us today. And the scriptures then promise that by faith we are grafted into Abram and Sarai's family and the promise given to them. So even today, in Christ, we are blessed so that we might share that blessing with others. Now we hear in scriptures, Abram, Sarai, they received very specific promises. Land, descendants more than you can count. They received all these specific promises. It turns out that the whole of all of these put together comes out to be even better than each promise individually. It's a promise of this relationship of love with God. There's something more I want you to hear about God's promise to Abram before we get back to this idea of Abram and each of us being blessed to be a blessing. You see, God's call to Abram is a call to trust God, to serve and be this blessing to others, but it is first a declaration of love. God calls Abram and loves Abram without condition. Without any kind of condition, and this extends to all people as well. See, God didn't call Abram because Abram was a great man. God comes to this yet unknown man and says, "I will bless you and make your name great." God called Abram to make his name great. God comes to this one particular person in history not because of anything that he's already done, not because he's a great person, not because he's already started with a great faith. God called Abram as a sign that God calls to each and every person out of love, without any preconceived notions, without any conditions, calls to each of us in our own particularities, even when we don't feel lovable, which we don't. We don't always feel loved or blessed by God. Sometimes that feeling of blessing might be a fleeting moment that's chased away by the grind of life or the screeching voices of our culture that drown out any whisper of faith and love in our hearts that we matter because we are, because of who we are and not what we do. There are increasingly loud voices that call out to us, that tell us that prosperity, whether it's monetary or health or peace of mind, is the only way that God blesses us, the only way that determines our worth. And all of this leads to this false sense that God doesn't bless me, or my faith isn't strong enough, or I'm not praying hard enough if I'm struggling in life. If I'm not rich, if I'm not healthy, if I or my family has any problems. All of this, friends, is a lie and contrary to God's promise that you are called and loved and blessed by God not because of who you are, but because that's who our God is. To reach into our lives no matter what is going on and call each of us. Tell us that we are loved and blessed. We'll never be good enough to measure up to this standard that has been set by as God if we think that God is looking for a favorite child. And thanks be to God, Abram wasn't really good enough either. Throughout his whole story and his whole long journey, we would, if you read the story of Abram and Sarai, you would see that he is not perfect. He gave his wife to another man out of fear twice. He exiled his son Ishmael and his mother Hagar to a near and certain death. And time and again, he second-guessed God's promise to him, trying to take it all into his own hands. But blessing didn't come from what he did. He became a blessing to others because God called him to take the journey of understanding himself as a loved and blessed child of God so that he could share that love and that blessing with others. So I ask you, and I think part of our calling then is to explore how is God's blessing reflected in your life? How is God's blessing then reflected in the life of this faith community? God's blessing is most often both given and received. I think it can be felt most poignantly in the wilderness of life. Abram and Sarai were sent. They were blessed by God. They weren't called to just stay where they were in the comforts of their home and with their family, but they were called by God into the wilderness. We receive blessing from God at the very foot of the cross. God's blessing may come in material ways or with good health or with good family or good relationships, but it's most likely seen and recognized when it comes to us in our own wilderness wanderings, in our own struggles, and in our own grief. That's not necessarily what God chooses, but those are the realities of life and where we meet God and what the cross of Jesus is about. I've seen it here in the relationships in this community in so many ways. I've seen it in our work with Thrivent Builds and Habitat for Humanity as we get ready this Saturday to dedicate and bless a new house that we have helped to build as a congregation. Or I saw it last week when we gathered with about 50 others from Lutheran churches around Loveland for God's Work, Our Hands Day, as we prepared the new Life Center that's going to help thousands of people in so many ways through all the social service agencies there. Or I've seen it also in all the things that we do as we gather here in this place, blessing one another in caring conversations, in worship, in Bible study or faith conversations. I've seen it in the way that we're sent out into our larger community, into our families, to our friends at work or where we volunteer to bless others in so many ways. And sometimes it happens in ways that we couldn't even be prepared for. And it happens simply because God has called each of us and says, I love you, and blesses us to then be a blessing for others. That's what God's promises are all about. They tend to have this ripple effect, starting with one particular person and moving out to all of the generations around and after that particular person. So God calls each of us on a journey, both as individuals and as a whole community, a journey to bless others. And I think especially others who may consider themselves least blessed, or who the world looks at as least blessed, unlovable. So we can feel confident that in fact each and every one of us has been called, has been blessed, maybe even called out as a favorite child, blessed beyond all circumstances of this life, blessed to be children of God. Thanks be to God. Amen.